Turn again, please, to that passage of Scripture we read earlier, to the book of Lamentations and to the chapter number 4. And with God's word open before us, let us bow, please, just in a brief word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for Thy presence. We thank Thee, Lord, for the great hope of the Christian, that we can truly sing and say that we're marching to Zion, beautiful Zion, that beautiful city of God. Lord, that would be our prayer for every individual, Lord, in this gathering, that they would have that great assurance that they're on that narrow way to glory, to everlasting life and heaven itself. Bless us now as we come to Thy precious word. Pour out Thy Holy Spirit, O God, upon us, we pray, and break the bread of life to our souls, to the salvation of sinners in this meeting, to the edifying of the saints of God, to the glorifying of Christ. Empty me of self and of sin. Fill me with Thy Holy Spirit. Pour out Thy Spirit upon preacher and upon congregation alike. And glorify and exalt the Savior, in whose name we do ask all these things. Amen. Our text of Scripture for today, the opening words of the verse number 2 of Lamentations, chapter number 4, where it says, "The precious sons of Zion, comparable to a fine gold." Now, as we would continue on our series of precious things in the Scriptures, I want us today to look at the precious people of God. You and I are reminded of the preciousness of the Lord's people here in this verse 2 of Lamentations chapter 4, where it says, "The precious sons of Zion, comparable to fine gold, how are they esteemed as earthen pitchers, the work of the hands of the potter?" Now, this particular verse here is set against a very dark day in ancient Israel and ancient Judah. In this chapter before us, you have the prophet Jeremiah, who is incidentally known as the weeping prophet. And he is lamenting the state of Jerusalem and her people at that particular time. It was a day of sorrow. It was a day of awful calamity, of spiritual darkness and apostasy, departure from the ways of God. There was famine amongst the people. There was death all around. At this particular time that the city of Jerusalem was being besieged by the Chaldean army. And then after this, the people themselves were to be brought into 70 years of captivity down in the land of Babylon. Why were these events happening? Well, this was really God's chastisement upon His ancient people because of their sin, because of their waywardness, their rebellion before God, because of their rejection of the Word of God and the ways of God for them as a nation. And that leads us to the truth and the conclusion that sin always leads to trouble, and sin always leads to sad and terrible repercussions. Whoever, I want you to notice here today, in the midst of such a dark day and a dark situation, I want you to see this, that God still calls His people the precious sons of Zion. Look at the words that are used again in verse 2. It says, "The precious sons of Zion, comparable to fine gold, how are they esteemed as earthen pitchers, the work of the hands of the potters?" What a truth is this. This wayward people, they were still precious to God. And do we not here see the marvelous grace of God? Do we not see here a picture of the wonderful love of God toward His people, that love that passeth all human understanding? Sadly, yes, the Lord's people may drift away from the Lord. Yes, sadly, they may bring shame upon the Lord's name and the things of the Lord. Yes, sadly, they may bring upon themselves a chastisement, yet still, this is the truth before us here in this text, yet still they are precious to the Lord. And in being precious to the Lord is one who awaits their repentance.
He awaits their return from the pathway of folly to the pathway of blessing and the pathway of restoration for them. Yes, the Lord says in His Word that He is married to the backslider, that there is no divorce with God between Him and His people. Hence the reason why here in our text they are described, even in this dark day, as the precious sons of Zion. People, this morning, it is these words that I want us to think about. The precious sons of Zion. I want to set before you today just five reasons in particular why the Lord's people are so precious to the Lord. First of all, today I want you to notice that God's people are precious because of the immortality of their soul. You see, God has created man with a soul. In the book of Genesis it says, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." And by the soul of man it is immortal. You remember the words of Christ here on earth in Matthew's Gospel when He said, "Fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill or destroy the soul," highlighting the great truth that the soul of man is immortal. The soul of man will never die. O believer in our meeting this morning, understand this, that you are precious today to God. Why? Because you have a soul that is immortal. You have a soul that will never die. Your soul will live forever and ever in the great eternity of God. Yes, ungodly man is one who reckons that money is important. Ungodly man, he reckons that land or property or material things are important, are precious. But you know that this is not so with God. Child of God, understand this in the meeting this morning, that you are precious to the Lord God, your Savior, your Heavenly Father. Child of God, in the meeting this morning, yes, you may be poor. You may be unimportant as far as the world or man is concerned. You may even be despised by others, maybe ridiculed or scorned by others. But understand this, dear believer, that you are precious, most precious to the Lord God, your Savior. You think of the words of James as he writes to God's people in his little epistle in James chapter 2 in verse number 5 when he says, "Hearken, my beloved brethren." Believer, you're beloved of the Lord. "Hearken, my beloved brethren. Have not God chosen the poor of this world, rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which He hath promised to them that love Him?" And again, those words of James highlight to us how the Lord's people are so precious to the Lord. You know, believer, over in the book of Malachi, you know how God describes you in His Word? As my jewels. That's how He describes His people. In Malachi 3, verse 17, my jewels. And that word, jewels, really means my special treasure. Remember that, dear believer. You're a jewel of the Lord. You're precious to the Lord. You are the Lord's special treasure. And one of the reasons why you are so precious to God is because you have an immortal, never dying, eternal soul within your being. Yes, God's people are precious because of the immortality of their soul. But we can say further today that God's people are precious because of the redemption of their soul from sin. Turn with me in your Bible over to the New Testament book of Galatians. Galatians chapter number 4. And look with me, please, at verse number 4 and verse number 5. And here you read of the redemption of the soul of God's people from sin. And it's all through Christ, the Son of God. Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 and 5, it says, "But when the fullness of the time was come," in other words, at God's appointed time, the coming of Christ was no afterthought of God. It was all planned by God in the very counsels of God in eternity past. "But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth His Son," that's the Lord Jesus Christ, "born of the Virgin, made of a woman,
made under the law. He was one who perfectly kept the law of God in every part and every detail. What for? Verse 5. To redeem them that were under the law. In other words, under the curse, the penalty of their sin, that they might receive the adoption of sons. My, how was our redemption fulfilled? How did it come to pass? By the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God, upon the cross. God made a way, dear believer, for you and I to know the forgiveness of all of our sins before God. The Bible speaks of Christ and His sacrifice upon the cross. And it says, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. Believer, this is why you are so precious to God. Because God sent His Son, His only Son, the darling of His bosom, who was without spot or without blemish, to go to the cross of Calvary, that awful cross of ignominy and shame, and shed His blood and die, so that you and I and all His people can know the forgiveness of our sins. By His sacrifice, our sins are forgiven. But not only are our sins are forgiven in redemption through Christ, but we're saved. Our soul is saved eternally from the wrath to come, from a lost sinner's hell. The Bible says there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. My speaking of Christ's redemptive work upon the cross, one has said Jesus came not only to teach but to save, not only to reveal God to mankind, but also to redeem mankind back to God. Believer, see the great truth of our text this morning. You are precious to God, so precious to God that He sent His Son, His only begotten Son, into this world for you to redeem your soul from the pit of corruption, to bring about a way for the forgiveness of your sins so that He could be your own and personal Redeemer. My, with Paul, dear believer, you can say of Christ this morning, the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. The hymn writer could say, what a wonderful redemption. Never can a mortal know how my sin, like red like crimson, can be whiter than the snow. Oh, see, believer, how precious you are to God, that Christ came in the fullness of God's time to redeem your soul, to provide a way for your sins to be pardoned. Maybe I'm speaking to one in the meeting this morning and you were unsaved in our gathering. Let me say this, if you are to know personally redemption from your sins, know your sins forgiven, if you are to know your soul saved from a lost eternity in hell, then as a repentant sinner, you must come unto Christ by faith. You must trust Christ and lay hold upon Christ with a hand of faith as your own personal Redeemer. The Lord says, look unto me and be ye saved, all ye ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else. Look to Christ who came, who bled and died upon the cross and shed His blood, and trust Him and embrace Him and call upon Him by faith to save your soul. Oh, understand today that redemption from sin and hell, it is not in yourself. It's not in anything of man. It's not in your good works or the rites or the ceremonies of man. It is not in your self-righteousness. It is not in this church or any other church. It is in Christ and in Christ alone, that the Son of God who died upon the cross for guilty sinners and who rose again. Oh, believer, you're precious today because of the immortality of your soul. You're precious to God because of your redemption through Christ. But thirdly, this morning, we can also say that God's people are precious because of their adoption into God's family. You think of the words of Paul in that great opening chapter of his letter to the Ephesians, highlighting the blessings of the children of God. And he says in verse 5, having predestinated us into the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will. Child of God, your adoption has meant that you've been called out of darkness, out of the darkness of sin and Satan's kingdom, And you have been called into the marvelous light of God's family, God's fold, God's kingdom. That's how precious you are to God. And my, with this adoption into God's family, you're one who is greatly blessed. You're one who is signally blessed, as we're singing about in our opening hymn of praise this morning, of the blessings of God. The psalmist says, happy or blessed is the people whose God is the Lord. And with this blessing, the Lord promises to meet your every temple need as his child, whenever you put him first. Think of the words of Paul to the church at Philippi. He said, but my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. That's how precious you are to God, believer, as part of God's family. God has promised you and I, when we put him first, to meet our every temporal need, whatever that need is. There is a Christian couple that I know and have known for many years. They were unable to have any children of their own, and they decided to go down the road of adoption. And they adopted a child from an orphanage away over in Eastern Europe. And that child went through the adoption procedures, and when it was all done legally, that child became legally their own child. It was brought into their family. Before, that child in the orphanage really had little hope as far as the things of this world were really concerned. But now, brought up in a Christian home, a Christian environment, the Lord has blessed that child, and they have known the blessing of the Lord upon that child. And that child has had his every temporal need met and supplied, which would not have had otherwise had it remained in the orphanage out of that process of adoption. But those parents through adoption have sought to meet every earthly and temporal need of that child. Is that not just a small picture of how the Lord promises to meet our needs as his people temporally when we put him first in our lives? And then also of this adoption, God promises abundant spiritual blessing to our lives. Turn over again to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. And look with me, please, at verse number 3 of the chapter. It says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who have blessed us, notice it, with all spiritual blessings and heavenly places in Christ. What does that mean, dear believer? The very fact that you are so precious to God, what does that mean, those spiritual blessings that Paul talks about there? It means the blessing of abundant grace in your life. Abounding grace, grace abounding. It means the power of God, the Holy Spirit, in your life as a believer to die to sin, to live unto God, and to serve the Lord in your day and generation, so that you and I can be more than conquerors through Christ who loved us, who gave himself for us. Oh, you're precious to God today, dear believer, because you're part of his family. You're part of his fold. And you know how God describes you in his word as one who is part of his family? He describes you as the very apple of God's eye. That's how precious you are to God as a member of his family. You're precious because of the immortality of your soul. You're precious because of his wonderful redemption for you through Christ. You're precious because you are adopted in grace into his family, into his fold. But then fourthly, we can also say today that God's people are precious because of their testimony for God. What does it say in the book of Proverbs? It says, the memory of the just is blessed. And that speaks of God's blessing upon the testimony of his people. In other words, God uses the testimony of his people to bring honor and glory to his name. And not only that, but to be a signpost to point others to the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. You remember what the Bible says about Enoch. It says, Enoch had this testimony that he pleased God. And he named his son Methuselah. And the name Methuselah simply means at the death, the sending forth of the waters. And that was really a witness. It was really a testimony.
Enoch, my true God, was warning the people of God's justice and judgment coming upon the world in the day of Noah through the flood because of its sin.
Enoch had this testimony that he pleased God, you see, by his witness, by his testimony. He was precious to God in his day and generation. And he was a witness to the world at large that God is a God who deals with sin, who judges sin. That people needed to prepare and get right with God and prepare for the judgment of the Lord. And likewise, dear believer in Christ, you and I also are precious to God because of our testimony. A testimony to glorify God in our life. Our testimony to witness to others, to speak to others of their need of salvation. And their need to come to Christ and trust Him as their Savior. Turn with me over to John's Gospel, chapter number 4. And here in this great chapter, you read of the conversion of the woman of Samaria, the woman at the well. What a trophy of grace she was. And I want you to see how God blessed her testimony. Her testimony was very precious to the Lord, and the Lord used her testimony. Go down to verse number 28 and verse number 29 and 30 of the chapter. John's Gospel, chapter number 4, verse 28, it says, "The woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city." That's where she had grown up and where she had lived a sinful life. "And saith to the men, come see a man." That's Christ she's talking about. "Which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ?" And look at verse 30. It says, "Then they went out of the city and came unto him," came unto Christ. Notice there how God blessed the testimony of this dear believer in the Lord who was just recently saved, recently converted to Christ. Through the words that she said of Christ, others were led to Christ that time. Go on down to verse number 39 of the same chapter. Look at what it says there. It says, "And many of the Samaritans of that city believed on Christ," believed on Him, "for the saying," for the testimony of the woman, "which testified, He told me all things that ever I did." And there you see how God used the testimony of this woman of Samaria to point others to Christ, to point others to the Savior. See there the preciousness of the believer's testimony. You think of John Bunyan this morning. I'm sure many of you have heard of John Bunyan. He wrote that great Christian book, Pilgrim's Progress, a book I would commend to every believer to read. It's a wonderful picture of the Christian life. John Bunyan was a wild, reckless man before he was converted. He had an awful tongue in his head. He was a man that people would have shied away from, who really wanted nothing to do with. Such was the ungodliness and the sin and the rebellion that marked his life. But how was John Bunyan saved? How was he pointed to the Lord? One day where he lived, he heard a group of women talking. The women always liked to talk. Well, that day they were talking about the message they heard on Sunday, talking about the Savior and about the message that they heard. And he overheard their words speaking of the message and the word of the Lord that they'd heard. God used their witness, God used their testimony to bring John Bunyan, the tinker of Bedford at that particular time, to the Lord, to saving faith. See how our testimony is precious to the Lord. Believer, the Lord says to you and I, ye shall be witnesses unto me. And believer, you're precious to the Lord because the Lord wants to use your testimony in your life day by day to bring glory to His name. Not only that, but to point others to be a witness to Christ in your home, in your community, in your workplace where you live and rub shoulders with others day by day. He wants you to be a signpost for Him and to point others to the Savior. But one final thought this morning, I want you to notice also that God's people are precious because of their inheritance in heaven. Turn with me over, please, to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter number 1 and the verse number 3 and 4. And look at these words speaking of the believer's inheritance. It says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy have begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead,
to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. And that's how precious you are to God, dear believer. You have an inheritance, there it says, that is incorruptible, that is undefiled, that fadeth not away, that is reserved in heaven for you. It's reserved in heaven for you as a believer. That is how precious you are to the Lord. The Bible talks about the glory of His inheritance in the saints. And the glory of our heavenly inheritance is the very fact that one day, believer, you're going to be with the Lord forever in heaven. The Bible says that you and I shall be with Christ, which is far better. And in heaven you'll see Christ as He is, and you will be like Christ in heaven. The Bible says, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is." Being like Christ in heaven, dear believer, means this: no more sin, no more sorrow, no more battles, no more trials, no more afflictions. That means the absence of the curse of sin that is in this world. It means that been absent completely from heaven. No more death, no more sickness, no more sorrow. The hymn writer says, "What rejoicing in His presence when are banished grief and pain, when the crooked ways are straightened and the dark things shall be plain." And believer, this is what the Lord has given you in grace. An inheritance that is uncorruptible, that is undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. And this is why you're so precious to God. That really shows the preciousness of yourself to the Lord. The very fact that He has given you this inheritance. You know, rightly, you and I, we don't deserve heaven. We deserve judgment and hell for our sins. We don't deserve the very least drop of the mercy of God. However, in His love and in His mercy, God through Christ has given us a blessed inheritance in heaven reserved for us. And believer in the meeting this morning, realize this: no matter what the world says about you as God's child, no matter how the world treats you, no matter what trials you face in life, no matter what sorrows you face in life, remember this, that you're precious to God. You're His special treasure. You are His jewel today in the hand of God. And as a precious son of Zion, as we were singing earlier on, you're marching to Zion today. Beautiful Zion, the beautiful city of God. You know, whenever Moses sought to encourage his father-in-law Hobab to go with Israel to the land of Canaan, he said these words. He says, "Come thou with us, we will do thee good, for the Lord hath spoken good concerning Israel." And if you're not saved in the meeting this morning, we'd say the same to you this morning. Come thou with us, and we will do thee good, because the Lord hath spoken good concerning Israel, concerning His people. There's a great hope for the believer. There's a great inheritance laid up for the child of God. An unbeliever, if you're to have a part in that inheritance, then now in time you need to flee to Christ and repent of your sin. Trust Him as your own and personal Savior. The Bible says, "But as many as received Him, to them give He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name." And it's by you trusting Christ as your Redeemer, knowing your sins forgiven by the precious blood of the Lamb, that you can enter into His kingdom and be numbered amongst the precious sons of Zion in heaven in glory forevermore. We're going to close our meeting this morning by singing together the hymn number 577. 577 is a lovely old hymn, "Sweet is the promise, I will not forget thee. Nothing can molest or turn my soul away. Even though the night be dark within the valley, just beyond a shining and eternal day." Now, Sister Eileen has told me you're not familiar with this hymn.
Some of you may be. So I've asked her just to play the first verse in the chorus, and then we'll stand as we sing. It's an easy tune, great words of truth and encouragement for the believer, and then we'll stand as we sing as our sister will lead us. But she's just going to play the first verse and the chorus before we sing it through. It's a nice, easy tune, good to learn something new every day. Stand as we sing and sing it with all our heart. Our Father and our God, we thank Thee for Thy presence with us here in Thy house today. We thank Thee for Thy word that each and every believer is part of the precious sons of Zion. Help us, Lord, to remember this, even in the week that lies before us. No matter what the world says, no matter what ridicule we face as God's people, no matter what trials or tribulations come our way, help us never to lose sight of the fact that were precious, O God, to thee, so precious that Jesus came and shed his precious blood for us. And Lord, help us to live for him. Help us to witness for him, to be the means of pointing others to the Lord. And Lord, for any in this gathering today who know not the Lord, are still in that broad and crowded road to a lost eternity, speak to them. May they come unto Christ today and enter into Christ and the blessings of the gospel of Christ. And know what it is to number amongst the redeemed, even in heaven's glory by faith in the Savior. Answer prayer. Part us now with thy fear and favor. Take us to our separate homes in safety. Bless us throughout this thy day. And return us again in thy will this evening hour, we ask, for Jesus' sake. Amen. And amen.